Last Sunday that we were here, we started talking about the Church of the Living God. And we used as a text scripture, as you see in the beginning of your paper there, 1 Timothy chapter number 3, verse number 15. He says, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." Matthew chapter number 16 and 18 reads, "And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, what we want to look at this morning, or this afternoon now, is the block that is saying that the church can only be entered in by the new birth. You cannot join the church. As we said on last lesson, when you are coming into a church or an organization or an organized group of people, when you're saying, when someone is asked to say, "Do you want to join?" you're saying that you want to become a part of that group. And especially when it comes down to being someone being your pastor, is you're saying that you realize and recognize that this person is sent by Jesus to watch for your soul. Now remember, watching for the soul is nothing you and I can do on our own. We have to have someone over us to do that. That's why Jesus says he gave us what? Pastors. After his own heart. That's over there in Jeremiah. He gave us pastors after his own heart, which will feed you with understanding. And then in the book of Hebrews says that they watch for your soul. Now, you say, "Well, the Scudder, if I can't join the church, well, the purpose of me coming up under someone to watch for my soul, what do I do when I do that?" Well, writer is telling you in John chapter number 3, verses 3 and verse number 5, he's telling you how to get into the church. The church is the kingdom of God. It is the rule of Jesus. It is the rule of righteousness. And Jesus reveals this to a man named Nicodemus. And he tells Nicodemus specific instructions on how to get into the kingdom of God, how to see it and how to get into it. Jesus, in chapter number 3 and verse number 3 of St. John, Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto thee, except unless a man is what? Born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Verse number 5, he says again, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man is born of both what? Water and spirit, he cannot do what? Enter." Now, the first part, he says you can't see it. The second part, it says you can't do what? Enter into it. Now, that's why you really need, you say, "Well, what is the role of the Lord's preacher?" The Lord's preacher is there to guide you, to give you words of instructions, to help to illuminate your mind as to how you can see the kingdom and how you can do what? Enter into it. Right? That's the truth. You say, "Well, the Scudder, that doesn't seem like Jesus can do that by himself." He can do it. He does do it by himself. He does it through his preacher. You notice what he told Peter when Peter acknowledged that Jesus is the Christ. He said, "Flesh and blood did not reveal this to you." He said, "But my Father which is in heaven." In other words, it was a divine knowledge. Knowledge was bestowed upon him in a divine manner. He didn't get it off the earth. This information came directly from God himself, the identity of who Jesus is. And Jesus says, upon that rock or upon that testimony, that's what I'm going to build my church on. He says, and I give unto you the keys of the kingdom. Now, when Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, he used that first key. Keys provide access. Now, remember, the people at the day of Pentecost, if they weren't in the upper room, they didn't know anything about a church. They knew nothing about the church. If you weren't in that upper room, you knew nothing about the church. That's why when the Holy Ghost came on them or fell on those that were in the upper room, those that heard it, they said, what is the meaning of this? In other words, what these people look like they're drunk. They look like they're out of control. What is the meaning of all of this? And Peter said, these are not drunk like you suppose. And he told them, given at the time of the day that it was. But this is the fulfillment of Joel's prophecy. Joel prophesied, if you go over to Joel chapter number 2. It's not on your papers because I didn't intend to go there. Joel chapter number 2 and start at verse number 28.
Neither shall one thrust another.
2:28.
And it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my spirit.
See that? Now see, that's Joel prophesying. Joel prophesied that it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon who?
All flesh.
That's right. That's right. Now, if you jump over to Acts chapter number 2, hold your finger there in Joel. Acts chapter number 2, after they had asked Peter, what is the meaning of this? And that's in 2 in verse number 15. And then in verse number 16, you see in Acts chapter number 2 in verse number 16, he says, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet what?
Joel,
right? Now in verse number 17, he starts to quote what you're reading in Joel 2:28. Everybody see that?
Yes.
Can you go back over there and look at Acts chapter number 2:17. Mm-hmm. Peter is quoting what Joel is talking about. Now, remember in the book of Acts, in the Gospels, they didn't have the New Testament scriptures. Mm-hmm. The only Bible they had was the Old Testament. So when you hear them preaching and you hear them referencing scripture, they're talking about the Old Testament. They're not talking about the New Testament. They're living the New Testament at this particular time. So when he is talking about scripture, they were familiar with Joel's prophecy, but they just did not know when that prophecy was going to come to pass. And Peter was letting them know, you are seeing the fulfillment of what Joel talked about in chapter number 2 and verse number 28. It is happening right now on the day of Pentecost, right? It is happening at this moment. Now, what did you say, Elder Scudder? What has just happened? They had heard these Jews in this upper room speaking in tongues, magnifying Jesus. And they said, well, what is the meaning of this? Peter was saying, this is the fulfillment of Joel chapter number 2 and verse number 28. If you look at Acts chapter number 2:17, let's read it.
And it shall come to pass in the
last days. Now, this is the afterward. This is the afterward that Joel was talking about. Someone, while Sister Scott is reading that, someone go over to Joel 2:28 and read that. Afterward. See that? Afterward. Now Peter called it the what? The last days. Right? The last days. Joel says, and it shall come to pass what? Afterward. Now, let's read a couple of verses before that. Look at verse number 26. Or start at verse number 23. Joel chapter number 2:23. Be glad.
Mm-hmm. Ye children of Zion,
yes.
And rejoice in the Lord,
yes.
Your God.
Yes.
For he has given you the former rain,
yep.
Moderate and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain,
yep,
and the latter rain,
yep,
and the first.
Now, anybody that knew anything about harvest, the farmers looked forward to that latter rain, because that latter rain was essential to break up the ground that had been parched. You know, it's right this particular time of the year. Everybody look at April. What they always say: April showers bring May flowers. Well, this time of the year, usually the heavens open up and bring forth an abundance of rain. But then afterwards, you know, farmers start planting around this time of the year, and then all of a sudden, everything is going good until it gets real hot. And then when it gets real hot, it look like the cloud ain't a cloud in sight, and it seem like the sun just sits on the earth. And what happens to the ground? It gets hard and brittle. And the farmers just sitting there praying. They didn't have all the modern things that we have now, sprinkling systems and things of that nature. Only thing he could do is pray and say, Jesus, open up the heavens. Open up the heavens and send forth the rain. And that's what was called that latter rain. In other words, it was the rain after the expected season. That's the truth, saints. It was the rain after the expected season. And you look at what he's saying here. The Lord says, be glad. And what is that verse that you're reading? Verse number 23 told you to be glad. In other words, don't be sad. I know you have been desolate. I know things haven't been happening for you in your life. I know you seem like you've been praying and you haven't gotten your prayers answered. But don't be sad. Be glad, right? What does that verse number 23 say? Yes. Yes. Why? Why do you need to be glad and rejoice? Because the Lord is going to bless you. He's going to pour out his blessings upon you. His blessings are not going to come in the form of monetary advancement. He's not going to bless your pockets. He's not going to bless you with houses and land. You need something greater than that. You need something greater than money in your pocket or a place to lay your head. All of those things you work for, you can get them. But then after you get them, you're still going to be miserable, right? Still going to be miserable. You need someone to solve an inner problem, a problem with who you really are. You say, if you get the cars, you get the money, you get the houses, it's a temporary gladness. You need someone to give you long-lasting gladness. Something to where you can be content and regardless of whatever state that you're in. You need to be content when it's raining hard. You need to be content when it ain't raining at all. You need to be content in knowing that Jesus, the same way he provided you with rain during the expected season, he is able to provide you with rain in the latter times. In the time when things seem like are struggling, when things seem tough. When things don't seem like to open up. And I'm looking at us, even in our gatherings. We seem like we need the Lord to open up the heavens and pour out a latter rain. Why do we need him to open up the heavens and pour out a latter rain? Because we have been tarrying a long time. And it seems like no one is coming through with the Holy Ghost. Jesus is telling you and I to be glad and rejoice and cry out to Jesus. Why? Because he is the supplier. He is the one that can break up that fallow ground, right? He's the only one that can break up that fallow ground. You're coming here for a reason. You want the Lord to bless you. You're not coming here just to see who he's here. You want the Lord to bless you. You want the Lord to open up his heavens and pour you out a blessing. And I'm not talking about money in your pocket. I'm talking about a blessing that will satisfy your soul. Satisfy who you are, right? That's the truth. Go beyond all of your problems that you're going through and deal with who you are. Deal with the real you. That's the truth. That's true. The Lord is telling you, be glad and rejoice in the Lord your God. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. The Lord knows. I've seen it happen. I've seen the Lord bless on that altar and the Holy Ghost would just fall like wildfire. This one will receive the Holy Ghost. That one received the Holy Ghost. I'm praying to Jesus that he do it again. That's right. And I don't want to be praying alone. I need all of those that have Jesus to pray right along with me.
Forget about what you're going through. Forget about how you feel. And ask the Lord Jesus, open up the heaven and let it rain down moderately, right? Let your presence fill the temple, right? That's the truth. Let it rain moderately. Keep going. Yes. Yes. That's who is the source. That's right. Jesus is the source. You don't have to worry about who's praying with you. You don't have to worry about where you're positioned at prayer. You just have to make sure you got your mind straight. Your mind got to be focused on the source. Huh? That's the truth. This is the church of the living God. This church don't belong to no man. This church belongs to God himself. Why? Because he purchased it with his own blood. He said, you are my souls. Right? Jesus is telling you this about you and I. You are his souls. He doesn't care about the color of your skin. He only cares about the condition of your soul. See, humanity has gotten you all messed up in your mind. I was on my way to get Mother Best this morning, and signs were posted on every column where the black Jews, the black Israelites, had posted up flyers talking about this is what Jesus looks like and trying to portray Jesus as a black man. Meaning they want you to focus on the skin color of Jesus. Your skin color does not affect the quality of your soul. Jesus did not die for your skin color. He died for your soul. Huh? When he says, I am come that you might have life, he doesn't think about your skin color. Man is going to always look down on one another because of the skin color, because of differences. But Jesus looks and deals with us on a real basis. He looks at who you are from the inside. He died on the cross because of your soul. He loved you that much. He looked beyond your shortcomings and died for your soul, right? You need to care about your soul. You need to care about your soul just as much as Jesus does. Jesus suffered, bled, and died. All to save what? Your soul. And you need to care about your soul. I need to be concerned about where my soul is going to spend eternity. I need to be concerned about when I stop breathing here on earth, where will my soul be? Church is the only place that will point you in the right direction. Church is the only place that will point you in the place and the direction that you need to go at so that you can see the kingdom and you can enter into the kingdom. The message of the church is you must be born again. Born again above what? Water and there are no other ways. There are no alternatives. You've got to do it the way Jesus said do it, right? You've got to be born above what? Water and spirit. No other option. There's no other way to do it. You say, Elder Scudder, but what if I just tell you and tell this one, that's not going to do it. You can confess till your eyes fall out your head. Huh? Till your tongue falls out of your mouth. It's not going to do it. You must be born again. Born again above what? Water. And the only one that can give you that birth is Jesus. Huh? He's the only one that can give you that birth. You can't work hard for that birth. It is a gift from God, right? It is a gift. Gifts, you can't work for gifts. Somebody just got to be merciful and give it to you. You can't earn a gift, huh? You earn your wages on your job. When they give you your paycheck, that's not a gift. That's something you worked for. That's why people try to avoid hard work, but you work for it. Every dime that come your way, you work hard, you get it. You say, I thank Jesus for the ability to do my job. That's not a gift. It's a wage. It's what you have earned. But why do you tithe? Because you realize it wasn't your strength. Huh? You can't do nothing by yourself. In him we live, move, and have our being. He is our strength. He is the one that gives us the activities of our limbs. That's a gift from Jesus. That's true. You being able to move and breathe is a gift from Jesus. You can't move on your own. Nothing you can do can earn that. Just like you got it, the Lord can take it away from you. It is a gift from Jesus to be able to move, to be able to breathe, have the activities of your limbs. That's a gift from Jesus.
And because it's a gift from the Lord, when you realize Jesus gave me all these abilities to earn money, the least that I could do is honor him. Not when I feel like it, but with the first fruits of my substance. Y'all read that this week? You got to honor him with the first fruits of your substance. Before you put anything in your mouth, give it to the Lord. Let him know, Jesus, I honor you, right? That's the truth. Before you put anything in your mouth, give it to the Lord. Let him know, Lord, I honor you. Why? Because you have blessed me with the activities of my limbs. Yeah. He gave me breath. For however long, see, he got paid every 2 weeks. He gave me breath for 2 weeks. He gave me the activities of my limbs for 2 weeks. He kept me from being sick for 2 weeks. Huh? If I was sick, I was still able to go to work for 2 weeks. Huh? If I had to take off, he gave me a job that would pay me for taking off for 2 weeks. Huh? Least I could do before I go do anything is honor the Lord with the what? The first fruit. Huh? Of my substance. My name is on that check. Huh? Oh yeah, when that check comes in, it's my name on it. Huh? It's my name. It's been said, the job is saying you've earned these wages for this week. And it is up to you to govern your mind and say, Jesus, it was a gift that you gave me the ability to do what? Earn these wages. And the least that I could do is honor you with the first fruits of what I get. Huh? Yeah, he let the rain rain on. He let the rain fall from heaven on you for 2 weeks, moderately. Huh? He gave you the strength to be able to do your job when you was dry, when you had no strength, when you were feeling weak, when you were feeling like you couldn't make it another day. Huh? When you feel like you had to sit on the side of the bed and say, Lord, just get your thoughts together. Huh? That's the truth. Just sit on the side of the bed, get your thoughts. But he gave you the ability to put one foot in front of the other foot, to get your mind straight, to do your job, to earn your wages, right? That's a gift. That's a gift from Jesus.
Yes, it is.
Huh? That's a gift from the Lord. Some days you feel like going. Some days you don't. Some days you got the strength to go. Some days you don't have no strength. Seem like you're just dragging yourself. Huh? Some days your eyes are wide open. Other days your eyes can barely stay open. Huh? Well, some days you're breathing strong. Other days you seem like you can't catch a breath. Huh? Some days the weather's nice, comfortable, beautiful outside. Other days it's just pouring down rain. Huh? It's cold, right? My fingertips are freezing, right? Huh? I just want to be dry and I can't find a dry place. But the Lord kept you. He kept you through it all, right? He didn't allow you to drop dead not one day during those 2 weeks. He kept you alive, right? Huh? Kept you alive so that you can get a piece of paper with your name on it. Huh? A piece of paper with your name on it with a dollar amount. Huh? Come on. You say, Alice, I don't work, but you still get a piece of paper. Huh? You get some kind of money. It ain't every 2 weeks, it's once a month. You get some kind of money. Someone brings something into you more than what you had before, right? Huh? Whether it's a dollar, $5, if someone brings you a bottle of water, that one bottle of water you didn't have before they brought it to you. Huh? And the Lord gives you the ability to open up that bottle. He gives you the ability to pick it up and to take it back, right? And to satisfy your inner man. That's a gift, right? That's a gift. It's a gift. It's a gift from Jesus. Come on, read me a little bit more of that in Joel.
Okay.
Keep me moving.
He said, and he will cause to come down.
Yes.
The rain,
yes.
The former rain.
Yes.
And the latter rain.
Yes.
In the first month.
That's right.
And the floor shall be full of wheat.
Isn't that the truth?
And the vat shall overflow.
That's what we're coming in here for prayer. We want the Lord to fill up this ground. We want the Lord to make us prosper. Huh? Make us prosper in such a way that we infect other people. That's the truth. We want whatever we have to go to somebody else. Huh? That's true. You want the Holy Ghost inside of you to help somebody else. I don't want to feel the fire to myself. I'm just like you, sister. Sometimes I be so full of Jesus. Yesterday I was so full of Jesus in my prayer. I just felt like grabbing my daughter And the desire to be saved was so strong in me, I wanted her to be saved. Then I looked up and my wife had her by the hand. And well, but it's nothing that we can do. But I want her to understand how serious we are about you being saved. I want you to be saved that bad. I can cry all day long, but at the end of the day, you got to open up your mind. You got to want Jesus for yourself, right? That's the truth.
That's
the truth. But I want you to know, I want you to be saved. I want you to be saved. I want you to have the Holy Ghost. Huh? I want you to feel what I feel. I want you to feel the joy and the gladness that I feel. Holy Ghost makes you glad. Holy Ghost makes you have joy. Even in the midst of all that you go through, the Holy Ghost is your contentment. Huh? It lets you be content in whatever state you in. That's the truth. The Holy Ghost will do that for you. Holy Ghost will allow things to come forth out of your life when your life seems non-productive. That's right. The ground was non-productive. But the Lord says, I will send forth the latter rain, and I will cause it to rain moderately. In other words, the Lord will take your shortcomings and make it just enough to get you from point A to point B, right? That's true, but you got to let the Lord do it, right? You got to move yourself out the way and let the Lord do it for you. You got to move your thoughts out of the way. Well, this is the way I do it. You got to move your thoughts out the way and be willing to do it the way Jesus said for it to be done. Somebody say, cry out to the Lord. You got to be willing to open up your mouth and cry out to Jesus. You can't just go around doing it your way. You got to say, someone just told me something. There's nothing mentally wrong with you. You can hear what they're saying. They said, open up your mouth and cry out to the Lord. Now you've got to receive the word. Huh? The entrance of the word is light, right? The entrance of the word is light.
Thank you,
huh?
Thank you, Jesus.
In him was life.
Yes.
And the light was the what? The light of men. Huh?
Thank you,
the light shined in darkness.
Yes.
And darkness did what?
Yes.
It is your mind that's keeping you from receiving Jesus. You've got to get rid of your stubborn will, right? You got to get rid of your stubborn will. You got to make yourself soft to receive what Jesus is saying to you. You got to humble yourself. You got to move self out the way and say, Lord, whatever you want to do, amen, Lord Jesus. Without however you want to move, amen, Lord Jesus. He's going to talk, but you got to be willing to do what? Listen. Huh? You got souls. Souls that have already received the gift. Huh? Souls that have already allowed the Lord to rain on them. When you got the Holy Ghost, you got the Lord rain on you. Huh? You got the Holy Ghost, that means a lot of rain has hit you. Has hit you and softened you up. Softened you up to allow something to come forth out of your non-productive life, right? That's true. Huh? You are going nowhere. Huh? You are going nowhere. Till the Lord softens you up. Huh? As I said, as Sister Sandy said, he took me and made something beautiful out of my life. My non-productive life. He made something what? Beautiful. Huh? And because he did it for me, now I'm obligated to share it with you. So when I'm telling you, open up your mouth and cry out to Jesus. I'm telling you because I did it. Huh? I'm telling you I did it. I know what it takes to receive Jesus. And you got to receive with meekness this engrafted word. This word that is able to become a part of you. It's not able just to become a part of you, but it can do for you something you can't do for yourself. What can it do for me, Elders? It can save your soul. It can save the real you, right? It can deliver your soul. Huh? It can deliver your soul. But you got to want to be delivered. You got to want to be saved. You got to see yourself as being hard, brittle, and non-productive. You got to condition your mind to say it like that. Jesus, I can't do nothing without you. Jesus, I am nothing without you. Jesus, I will never be anything without you. Huh? You got to say that for yourself. You got to come to grasp with that kind of attitude for yourself. don't care how long you be here on this earth, you will be nothing without the Lord. Somebody can go celebrate you reaching 122, but you're still nothing without the Lord. People be talking about you so strong, you live to see 122, you're nothing without the Lord Jesus Christ. Huh? If you died 123, you're still going to the same hell that somebody died at 18. Why? Because the soul, if it doesn't have Jesus, is none of his, right? That's what the scriptures say, right? That's why he told you to be what? Born again, right? He didn't tell you to see how long you could live here on this earth. He told you to just need what? Get yourself born again. Born of what? Water and the Spirit. So that you can see and enter into the kingdom of God. Huh? The kingdom of God is the church of the living God. The pillar and the ground of what? Truth. Right? Truth ain't in them judges. What about them judges? The truth ain't in them judges. They sinners. Truth ain't in the White House. They sinners. Huh? Truth ain't in the government. They sinners. Truth is in Jesus. Huh? Y'all understand that? Truth is in Jesus. Truth ain't in no hospital. Truth ain't in no laboratory. The truth is in Jesus. Jesus said his church is the pillar and ground of the truth, right? That's right. That's true. His church is the pillar and ground of the truth. Can you read a little bit? Keep them going.
And I will restore to you.
Yes. Ain't that the truth? See what the devil is trying to get you? He wants you to stay in the state of loss. Y'all understand that? The devil wants you to stay in the state of loss. He wants you to stay right on out there, wandering in the wilderness. Because he knows the longer you stay out there, something's going to pick off of you. Huh? Elder Scudder didn't say this. Huh? Verse number 25, in order for something to be restored. In other words, that means something had to be lost. Huh? You can't restore something that wasn't lost. Huh? When you restore something, that means you giving it back. Huh? That devil had you out there in sin. Huh? And he took all of the life out of you. Huh? All of the motivation. All of the zeal out of you. It's like he drained you dry. Huh? Come on, you can go back to your youth. You can go back to your childhood. You had such great dreams. Huh? Such great aspirations. Someone look over and say, when you looked at yourself and you see where you are, they ask you, say, is this what you plan to be? You look at them flat footed and say, no. Huh? Where I'm at is nowhere near what I planned. My wife would tell you I used to draw my dream home. I had blueprints, everything all lined out. I talked to her about it. That's what kind of pushed her to say, I'm going to be with this one. Because he's going somewhere. But Lord help her, because when she got with me, it was a hard road, right? Huh? Every now and then she would tell me, she said, you remember them houses you used to draw? They were great dreams. Huh? Great dreams. Great thoughts. Great ideas. We had plans in a big yard. Big yard for our children to play on gym, whatever they call them, gym sets. Huh? Oh, yes, we did. Had a plan for them to have nice things to be able to go and slide down and play in the yard. Every parent has that idea. Huh? Every parent has that idea. They all start off with that thought. You're going to marry the right one. Huh? And they're going to treat you the right way. And we're just going to grow up and be like the Brady Bunch, right? Huh? Huh? Everybody got that idea. Huh? That's what makes you watch them shows on television. Huh? Because you wake up, you look at the Brady Bunch, you'll be happy. And then you go back and you realize, I ain't got no house like that. Huh? This man that I'm with, he ain't no architect. Huh? Huh? You're not the Huxtables. Huh? Nobody's calling you Dr. So-and-so. Huh? You're not no lawyer in no courtroom. Huh? That's the truth. Reality sets in. But you look at those shows with great aspirations. Huh? They set a bar that you work real hard to get to. Huh? Oh, come on. You all, don't you lie to yourself. You know it's the truth. You know it's the truth. You got all of these plans in your mind of greatness, of what you shall be. But then reality kicks in. What reality? The reality of sin. Huh? It's not the reality of Jesus, the reality of sin. Sin does something to you. It sucks you dry. Huh? Sin comes in the form of a locust. It comes in the form of a cankerworm. It comes in the form of a caterpillar. It comes in the form of a palmer worm. But all of it has the same objective. The same objective is to eat off of you, right? Huh? To take away you, right? To make you lose your identity, right? Make you feel hopeless. Make you feel like you ain't going nowhere. Huh? That's the truth. You ain't had no mind to sit in no bars, no child. But the cankerworm led you right there. Cankerworm had you sitting with other folk that thought just like you. And you thought that that's all life had to offer you. Huh? And you just accommodated. You just settled. Huh? You went against your better judgment. Yes, you did. You went against your better judgment. Things you thought you would not do, you started doing. Huh? Things you thought you would never say, never act like. And there you go, acting like it. Huh? Going there. Being all that you can be as that what? That sinner. Huh? Isn't that the truth? Come on. Every man has a dream. Huh? I had a dream of having a nice, strong body. Huh? Nice, strong. You know what? No belly. I was going to have a steel plate. Huh? Where I could take the blows, right? But life ain't different. Huh? Life ain't different. And the sisters are the same. Huh? I know you saw yourself hair flowing all down your back. Huh? I mean nice and gorgeous. Skin all over the place, right? Huh? But then life say no. Huh? The cankerworm grabs you. It got all in your scalp. Huh? Huh? It ate you up. Huh? It ate you up. Sin. Blame it for what it is. Sin. Sin did all of this stuff to us. Huh? Oh, yeah, that's the truth. Call it for what it is. Sin did it all. But the Lord says, I'm able to do what? Restore. Huh? Come on. That's why you want to get the Holy Ghost with urgency. So the Lord can get you back on a restoration plan. He can give you back all of the things that you lost. Huh? Is that true, Deacon? Huh? Sin did, took it all away. But Jesus is able to give it right back to you. Right back to you the right way. The right way. I'm trying to help you, saints. He's able to give it back to you the right way. Huh? The restoration plan of the sanctified life. Yeah. Look at what it says. He says, what does it say there?
And I will restore to you the
year. Yes. That lets you know what sin take away from you. Sin don't take away minutes. Sin don't take away months from you. Sin is trying to gobble all that you are. Huh? You know what the writer is saying? Years. Years are the accumulation of days. You know how many, you know how many days it takes to get into 1 year? 365 days. And the writer didn't say the year. It said the year. How many years did you waste in sin? Huh? How many years did you lose because of sin? And I'm talking not even when you got the Holy Ghost. I'm talking after you had the Holy Ghost. Them bad choices were sin choices. Huh? And they stole something from you. Call it for what it is. It stole something from you. The ability to manage money. Huh? The ability to get the things that you desired in life. Huh? Oh, yeah. Sin took that stuff from you. Huh? Get with the right one. Huh? Man, if you would have let the Lord give you your spouse. You understand what I'm saying? If you would have let the Lord give you your spouse. Think of how better your life would be. Huh? Think about what the quality of your life would be. To be able to say that the Lord gave you a teammate. Somebody to work with you. Not against you, but to work with you. Pray you through when you're feeling bad. Say, get to pray. Jesus. That's somebody the Lord gives you with, right? Huh? Yet now you settled. with somebody that ain't got no mind to pray. Huh? Yo, it's the truth. You said it. You ain't got nobody's mind. They ain't got no mind to pray. Let your back get up against the wall and see what they do. Huh? See how they behave themselves. When you know, prayer is the only thing that can help me through this. You get on that sick bed and you go into a coma. I don't know what people in the coma can do. They may be able to hear and see you. You just don't know it. You get in a coma and then you got a sinner that's related to you. Huh? You there laying on your bed wishing you could hear somebody calling Jesus. But you got a what? A sinner sitting right beside you. Huh? When you trying to, you know, you at death's door and you trying to keep your mind on Jesus. Now you got a cusser laying beside you. Huh? Somebody ain't ashamed to cuss. When you trying to keep your mind on Jesus, they not ashamed to cuss. They not ashamed to fight. Huh? Yeah, hold that. I'm just trying to tell you. You let the Lord give it to you, you'll be better off. You will be better off. Because one day that's going to happen. One day you're going to be in a situation where you're not going to be able to do. And you're going to want someone beside you that knows how to do what you know how to do. Huh? What do you know how to do? I know how to pray. I know how to cry out to the Lord. I know how to take my burdens to Jesus and leave them there. I know how to not get, the scripture say, fret not. I know how to not fret not because of what the evil people are doing. Huh? I know how to not go around and run and casting blame. You know how people go, first of all, somebody die, after somebody die, everybody want to sue the hospital. They gave them the wrong medicine. They gave them this. They should have done that. No. The Lord called. Huh? Thank the Lord you're living in an age where you have a hospital bed. Huh? You go back a couple of hundreds of years, they had no hospitals. You died in your home, right? Regardless of what kind of sickness. Me and Sister are watching this show right now. They had diseases. It'd be a sad thing somebody tell you, go on and go sit by the river and die. No hospital. No medicine. Huh? He walk around and say, in 3 days you're going to be dead. Go find you a river and sit by the river and die in peace. You ain't living in the day like that. You get a headache. The first thing you do, running. Middle of the night. Middle of the night, you up in the hospital. I don't know what's wrong with me. They got to play guinea pig with you to figure out what's wrong with you. You live in a beautiful day and time. You live in a beautiful day and time. They give you water and all kind of food while you're there. All kind of juice. Let you lay down and sleep. Are you cold? Give you all kind of blankets. Huh? Cater to you. You don't even have to get up. You don't even have to go get your own water. They bring it to you. What fools we mortals are. And we want to sit up and complain. We don't realize how good we have it. As a society, as a people, we don't have missiles falling all out the sky. We got nuts running around with guns, but you know, we can call the cops on them. Pray the cops come. I told Brother Jones the other day, them folks trying to go home like you got home. They trying to avoid these crazy folks just like you are. All right, I'm done. Come on, read me a little bit. I'm done. But the Lord will restore this stuff to you. Yes, that the locust has eaten. Crank a worm. Yes. That let me know all kind of demons are coming all kind of ways, right?
My great army which I sent among you.
Yes.
And he shall eat in plenty and be satisfied.
So how did the Lord get me out of this stuff? Lord said he did it with a mighty outstretched arm. Do you realize you came out of sin because the army of the Lord was on your side? Ain't that a beautiful thing? In other words, you didn't come out of sin by yourself. You had a whole host of saints. I'm not talking about saints. I'm talking about prayer. That was behind you. Pushing you along the way. You might have thought you was coming through those doors by yourself. But it was a whole lot of prayer. Pushing you, right? When you ain't realize you can make it, right? The Lord calling the shots on you. He said, I sent a great army. Is that what he said? Verse number 25. My great army which I sent among you.
And you shall eat and
flint. Ain't that the truth? That's why you need the Holy Ghost.
Right.
Holy Ghost will bring a level of what? Satisfaction.
Right.
Huh?
Right.
Keep going.
And praise the name of
Ain't that something? God. That's how you know when it's Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
He don't let you be happy with sin. He don't let you be happy because somebody scored a touchdown or somebody knocked somebody out in a boxing ring.
Right.
Jesus let you be happy with praising his name.
Yeah.
Huh?
Right.
Ain't nothing like the church of the living God.
Right.
Huh? We come in here and get happy all over the name of Jesus.
Right. Right.
Don't call us crazy, but I'd rather be like this than anything else.
Right. Thank you, Jesus.
Huh? I'd rather be like this than anything else.
Thank you.
Huh? Well, yeah, I'd rather be just like this than anything else.
That's right.
Huh? You tell me the life that you live.
Uh-huh.
You go back over your life and you tell me a life that you live where you could eat and be plenty,
uh-huh.
Huh? And not gain no weight,
uh-huh.
Huh? And you could be what? Satisfied and not have to sin,
uh-huh.
Huh? Huh? You know how you got satisfaction in that world? You had to sin. You had to sneak in that door. Do your due. And you walk out happy. Woo! You feel good? I feel good, man. Such and such, man. We had a nice time. But then you don't realize it's only temporal.
Yeah, that's right.
Because after all of that, again. Yo, what's up? Yeah, I had such a good time. I'm out of town now. What you mean you out of town? Then you just jumping from bed to bed. Who can call? Why? Why are you doing it? Because I need to find satisfaction. And the only way I know to find satisfaction, I got to creep in, do my thing, so I can walk out. Huh? That devil's setting you up. Because see, one day you're not going to be able to do your thing.
Oh,
yes. One day you're not going to be able to do your thing. And then you'll be like so many others, sitting by the side of the road, watching everybody go by, murmuring and complaining. Ain't none of them good. I done did everything you talking about doing. I ain't get married for what? I don't want no woman. You're just miserable. you miserable because of all of your bad experiences.
Right.
You can't find no satisfaction. You can't find no satisfaction. But you come to church. Jesus teaches you a whole new way of life and living. This is a whole new way of life and living. Huh? He said you come in here and you eat and you be plenty. Huh? You eat off what? You eat off the word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You just be so full. You say, I'm just so happy. Just so content. People, you walk out the church, you got a smile on your face. Oh, come look at what was y'all doing in there? Was y'all pulling on slot machines? Huh? What was y'all doing over in there? Then they come in here and they see you in here about Jesus. 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 All y'all do is say, Jesus, Jesus. Amen. He is my joy, right? He is my joy. He has satisfied my mouth with good things. Huh? Everybody don't want this. Everybody don't want this level of satisfaction. Huh? You go and tell folks, you say, you can be satisfied. If you just come to Jesus, you'll be happy. They don't want it. They rather try sin. And sin just makes them come up empty every time. Huh? They'd rather keep on trying sin. You say, we had such a good time to serve. They look at you and smile, oh, really? We had such a good time. Praise the Lord, really? That's good. That's real good. What you do? I ain't do nothing. Why don't you come to church with me? I ain't got time for no church. But then you want to come tell me all your problems. I don't want to hear it. I'm happy with Jesus. I'm happy with Jesus. There's a spirit in that stuff. You start talking to them folk that do all that murmuring and complaining, there's a spirit in that stuff. And that spirit will get in your mind. It'll make you feeling all weird. And you don't want to feel that way. Not when you just got fooled off of Jesus. And he just satisfied you. You go home and do. Those of you who got unsaved loved ones, go on home. And see how they drain you when you get in them doors. With the foolishness. I'm just talking about the foolishness. Yeah. Stuff ain't got nothing to do with no Jesus. And you be looking at yourself. Man, it's, you know it's more to life than this. I'm enjoying my life. I just want you to do such and such, such. You be feeling all negative. You be like, well, where did this come from? From them? Because they ain't had no mind to be saved. Huh? That's your canker worm. Huh? That's truth. That's your canker worm eating up off of you, right? That's the truth. But you come to the Lord, he says you can eat in plenty and be satisfied. And praise what? The name. Huh? That's why sometimes you know you live with these folks that ain't saved. You got to go in them doors with your mind on Jesus. And don't let them take your mind off the Lord. You go in there and you sing to the loud as you can. Say, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I'm glad I've got Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
That's true. Keep going. Read a little bit more. Name of the Lord your God. How did the Lord deal with us wondrously? Keep going. And my people shall never. That's what Paul was talking about. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why? Because it is the power of God unto what? Salvation. And that's what the Lord gave you. He gave you what? Deliverance. Deliverance is salvation. Verse number 27.
And you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel.
That's the truth. That's why I'm telling you, we want to come in here next week with our minds on Jesus. Why? Because we want to leave out of here knowing that the Lord is in our midst. Huh? Come on. I'm not just talking about those that got the Holy Ghost, those that do not have the Holy Ghost. You want to know that the Lord is in your midst. You want to cry out to the Lord in such a way that you feel the presence of Jesus. And he ought to motivate you the next day to come on in here and say, Lord, do it again. Give me a little bit more, Jesus. That's true. He is in our midst. Huh?
And that I am the Lord your God.
And there is what? None else.
Be
that's truth. Keep going.
It shall come to pass afterward.
That
I will pour out my spirit.
That's the truth.
On all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Yes. And your old men shall dream.
Yes.
And your young men shall see visions.
Yes.
And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days.
Yes.
Will I pour out my spirit.
Yes.
I will show wonders in the heavens. Yep. And the earth.
Now see, this is where now everybody looked at this and they automatically assume that that's during the church time. Yeah. But you got to remember, prophecy sometime was connected. Uh-huh. And you had to go through and separate it where it needed to be separated from. Well, now you have right here where the Lord talks about the church, but then he starts to talk about the tribulation period. Uh-huh. And it's up to us to separate, to realize that in between the church and the tribulation period is something that's in between the outpouring of the Holy Ghost and the tribulation period is a time where Jesus is gathering his sheep. And it's called the church. Huh? Come on. That's where we are right now. We're in that time of gathering. We're in that time where Jesus is bringing his sheep together. And then one day the shepherd of the sheep is coming. And he is coming to gather his sheep out of the earth. And when he gathers his sheep out of the earth, then verse number 30 is going to come to pass. Come to pass in such kind of way. What does it say? You're going to look up into the heavens and you're going to notice that there's what? There's going to be blood and fire. Pillars of smoke, right? That's the truth.
Before the great and the terrible day.
That let me know that that's the time of judgment. Huh? The time of salvation is never referred to as a great terrible day. Huh? The day of salvation is never referred to in Scripture as a terrible day. But the day of judgment is. Huh? Come on and let me know, just like you got the Holy Ghost, just as real as the Holy Ghost is inside of you, it's just as real as the wrath of God is going to be poured out on this earth. Huh? Folks are going to be looking for death and will not be able to find it. Why? Because they're just going to have to go through, right? That's why you want to be in the church so you can escape his wrath, right? His wrath. That terrible day, right? You think because stuff ain't going your way, you call it terrible. You ain't seen terrible yet. Huh? You haven't seen terrible yet. The people in Ukraine haven't seen terrible yet. How you can say they're scared? They got bombs and people shoot. They can still escape. Huh? In the judgment of Jesus, there is no escape. Huh? It ain't a bomb that you need to run from. You're trying to avoid the wrath of God. His wrath is coming from creation. Huh? You ain't going to be able to hide from the heavens. Huh? You're not going to be able to hide from the heavens. You can run and get in a bomb shelter. You can't get no bomb shelter from the wrath of Jesus. You will realize he'll make the earth quake. Huh? You going down for comfort. He will make the earth quake. Bring you right back up. Huh? Bring you back up. I'm going to be in my bomb shelter. He's going to roast you. Cook you right in that bomb shelter. You're going to be trying to get out. Huh? And he's going to cook you. Right in your safe place. Huh? Those that say, I ain't got no bomb shelter, I'm going to run to the water. The water's going to be boiling. I'm going to go run into the mountains. The mountains will be on fire. Huh? Trees will be on fire, right? Everywhere you go, you're going to feel the terror. The terrible day of Jesus, right? Keep reading a little bit more.
And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name.
Ain't that a beautiful thing, right?
He shall be delivered.
Yes.
For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem
shall be delivered.
As the Lord has said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call.
Now that's a beautiful thing, because if you jump back over to Acts chapter number 2, you see the same thing. You see it word for word. The same exact thing. It shall come to pass, verse number 17, someone read. The last days, God said, I will pour out my spirit
upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy.
Yes.
Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream.
Yes.
And on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my spirit.
Uh-huh.
And they shall prophesy.
Yes.
And I will show wonders in heaven above.
See, here you go. Prophecy coming together. You see that?
Yeah.
But it is up to us to realize it has, that's, it's a part. There's a time when the Lord is pouring out his spirit, but then there's a time of judgment. But what's in between that time where the Lord pours out his spirit initially and that time of judgment? We got the time what we call the what? The church. Huh? The gathering of the sheep. Keep reading.
And on my servants and on my hand, I will pour out those days on my spirit, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders.
Yes.
In heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness,
yes,
and the moon into blood,
yes,
before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass
that who
shall call on the name of the Lord,
yes,
shall be saved.
Jump over to Romans chapter number 10. You get it? Romans chapter number 10, and starting at verse 11.
That's for the scripture said, whosoever believeth on him
shall not be ashamed. Yep.
For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek.
Then I just tell you, your skin color means nothing. The Lord is after your soul. The Lord is a soul chaser. He is after your soul, right? Keep reading.
For the same Lord over all
is rich. He's rich unto all that do what? That's why you thank the Lord you're where you are, saints. You're in the place that is teaching you how to do what? Call on the name of Jesus. Everything we do it through the name of Jesus. Get down and pray. Say, all y'all do all the time is call Jesus, because the scripture tells us to do that. I'm not telling you to do something outside the word of God. The word of God is telling you to call upon him. He says that there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek, right? For the same Lord is over all, is rich unto all that do what? Verse number 13 says, for whosoever. That's right. That's right. That's the kind of salvation you're looking for. It's the kind of salvation you're looking for. As we went over on last week, this is my role. And the next verse says, how should they call upon him whom they have not done what? Heard. Or whom they have not believed. So that lets you see the role of faith in your receiving the Holy Ghost. You cannot call on Jesus unless you do it through faith. Everybody understand that? Faith is the substance of things what? The evidence of things what? You cannot call on Jesus unless you do it through faith. How shall they call on him on whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him on whom they have not what? And how shall they hear without the who? And how shall he preach unless he be what? It's not a job. Me preaching is not my job. It's not my occupation. It is my calling. That is what the Lord has called me to do. And it is up to you to recognize the calling. Right? When you hear the Lord, receive what he is saying to you. Remember, the entrance. The entrance of his word brings what? Life. Right? But you have to understand, why do I need to get rid of the darkness out of my mind? Because the light is going to do what? Shine in darkness. And darkness is what? Not going to be able to comprehend it. But you got to let that command be strong. Just as it was in the beginning. Remember, darkness was deep. The earth was void. Huh? But what did the Spirit of God say? Let there be light. Yeah. It was a command, right? That's not an option. You got to realize when the Lord speaks to me, he's commanding me. They're not options. It's not if I feel like it. It's not if it's convenient. It's not if I have time to do it. These are commands, right? We went over that in Bible class, didn't we? The entrance of the Lord's word. These are commands. And we need to know what it looks like if I'm struggling with what? Obeying the command. Told y'all simple things. If I say, everybody get up. Now I want you to think about what you're going through right now before you even got up. I gave you a simple command, right? Yes, that's right. But I'm trying to help you understand. There are always things that challenge us from being obedient, right? But it's up to you to overcome the what? The struggle, right? It doesn't change the what? Yeah, the word don't change. The command doesn't change. You got to follow the instruction as it's what?
Yeah.
That's right. Y'all can sit back there. You got to follow. Y'all, we sit down quicker than we got up. But, but I'm trying to help you to understand. Don't complicate the instruction. The commandments of Jesus are very clear. What he says for you to do, he means for you to do it. He does not want to hear no excuses. Huh? Lord wasn't looking for no excuses up in the world when he said, let there be light. I say, well, how much light, Lord? Light just appeared. And the Lord said, I got to control this light or else there will be no world. Huh? So he put a house for the sun to dwell in. Y'all understand that? I'll break it down for you. The sun is in a house. But one day the Lord is going to open up the door to that house. Huh? What are you talking about? After a while, the house door is going to be open and the sun will spew out its contents. Huh? Fire. Huh? Isn't that something that the Lord said there? No more water. The rainbow is up there to remind you, homosexuals. Huh? Say, oh, this is our logo. And you ought to look at it and say, Jesus is reminding me every time I see your flag, huh? That there is what? No more water. That was Jesus. I did not say this. It's in your book. It is a reminder to him every time he sees the bow. Huh? Huh? You see, the world say, go on, be gay, be a homosexual. And they say, go let your colors fly. But it's a reminder to Jesus. You pushing his buttons. Y'all understand that? You pushing his buttons. The writer told you the God is not mocked. What you sow. Huh? That's the truth. So I thank Jesus for his word. Trust y'all got something out the word. I'm going to finish it up a little bit. We're going to go a little bit further. I want you to understand who the church is. What does it mean to be in the church? What is it? How do you get into the church? You can't get into it no other kind of way but by the new birth. Right? I said, if you try to climb up another kind of way, you are a thief and a robber. You are a thief and a robber. I don't care what they say. Well, the Lord told me to confess. Jesus told Nicodemus, accept. Or unless a man is born above what? Water? He cannot. Right? That's something. That's strong, isn't it? Strong, man. Who are you to argue with Jesus? You can't you're not gonna beat him. After a while, he told you, I'm the door. You don't come in by me, you ain't getting in. Huh? Whole lot of dead folk came to that door, and Jesus pushed them right into hell. Huh? Asked that rich man. He came to that door, and what did he say? He said he died, and he said that he blinked. Next time he opened up his eyes, he was in hell. Huh? How did I get here? You know how you got there. You know how you got there. Choices. Decisions. Huh? That's right. And he went and said, oh, please go tell my brother. Choices. Decisions. They're not going to believe the prophets. They're definitely not going to believe if one rose from the dead. Who is the one? The one we're going to be talking about next week, Jesus. Jesus didn't stay in the grave. He got up out the grave. And we look like right now we got a very few people that believe in Jesus. Very few people. It's not a whole lot of us. It's just a very what? Few. It's a traveler what? Every now and then. Just a few people believe in Jesus. Whole lot of people talking about him. Lord, I did this in your name. I did that in your name. Jesus said, I know you not. You worker of what? Isn't that something? Something to think about, isn't it? That's something to think about. Church, y'all got something out the word. I'm going to stop. Hide the word in your heart that you may not see.